Hey, folks, thanks for tuning back in to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am your host, Chip Patterson, and today we are going to look into the future and see if we can identify members of the class of 2013, the ones that just signed their national letters of intent, and see who might be the Heisman candidates of the future. So just like we do for every Heisman cast here on the Eye on College Football podcast, we bring in Chris Houston, Mr. Heisman Pundit. You can follow him on Twitter at Heisman Pundit. And in addition to all of his Heisman work on CBSSports.com, he still maintains HeismanPundit.com. Chris, my man, this has been fun for me. And why don't you start by explaining a little bit to the listeners how you're able to pick out who might be a Heisman contender for the future? Because as you said in your posts, this is not just a matter of, oh, this is a five-star who ranks at the top of his class. It could be him.
Yeah, I think it has developed or evolved a little bit over the years. Early on, I probably didn't give a huge amount of thought to some of the intricacies of it that I think about now. Early on, I was probably thinking about, okay, who are some of these top players going to some of these traditional powers who are traditionally better suited to win Heismans? And then it sort of, you know, evolved in the same way as the Heisman race has evolved. And now we're seeing guys, you know, it's important to win it at schools that are doing that's without a doubt. But the other factor is, you know, these incredible systems that are now in place that are now enabling these incredible numbers to come forth. We've seen all these quarterbacks in the last few years average almost 50 touchdowns combined per year, and they won the Heisman. So what I'm looking at now is for guys who are going to be perfect fits in these systems, who actually also have incredible talent as well, and who will sort of supercharge these already existing systems that themselves tend to supercharge stats for average guys. So my predictions are based on, hey, take a really elite talent, put him into a system that would normally, inflate what just kind of a decent player would do, and let's decide, hey, this is a really elite talent, and here's what's going to happen when he's in this system. And I think that's how we now can have a good idea of who might possibly challenge for a Heisman in the future.
One of the very cool things about this exercise is the fact that you can go back on HeismanPundit.com, and in the post on CBSSports.com, he's linked up all of his past years when he's done this, and there's some incredible calls on there. Cam Newton, or Cameron Newton, as he was listed in the class of 2007 when he was headed to Auburn, Newton made your list twice, first when he was going to Florida, then when he was headed to Auburn. Terrell Pryor was on that list. Clearly, he would have been in contention if it weren't for Tattoo Gate. You had Matt Barkley tabbed on there. Then you've got, you know, some other ones that opened my eyes. I forgot that Florida's Jordan Reed was a quarterback originally, and that Daryl Scott, who was at Colorado and then South Florida, was there. We talked about Mark Tyler before the podcast started. It's been interesting sort of to go back and remember how these guys were compared coming out, especially now that we've seen the way their college careers played out.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think identifying the talent is the first key. With a guy like Cam Newton, it was just hard not to see how good he was coming out of high school. And I look back at the time, and I'm just shocked that anybody could have seen his film and not had him the number one ranked player in the country coming out that year, but he wasn't. He was something like the number 20th or 22nd. I thought he was a guy that was going to come in inside that Florida system and really shine quickly, and it was the same with Jordan Reed. Sort of had that look of Cameron Newton when he came out, and sometimes these guys, like you said, end up doing other things or still being good, but maybe not at their preordained position. And some guys, just, you know, again, a lot of these guys, too, are going to challenge for the Heisman, not necessarily win. But I was so high on Newton that I did have to put him in there twice.
And then 2012's class, but the last year's signing class, this year's freshman in some cases, Chris included Alabama running back T.J. Yeldon, Miami running back Duke Johnson, and Texas running back Jonathan Gray. Chris, I think you're off to a great start with those three. And, of course, we still have to see what is to come from Washington quarterback Siler Miles and Notre Dame quarterback Gunnar Kiel, two players that I think certainly in, you know, 2 or 3 years could be challenging or contending. Do you still feel the same, you know, still not seeing those guys, or do you have any changes that you would make to 2012's list?
No, I really like the 2012 class. I'm really obviously very happy with Yeldon, how he's done. I wish I would have, I had flirted with Gurley and Marshall at Georgia, but since they were both going there, I wasn't sure which one would emerge at the time. I do think it's a great class. And one thing to remember is that some of these classes don't produce Heisman candidates. The 2008 or 2009 classes, I'm sorry, 2009 and 2010 high school classes have yet to really produce a significant Heisman challenger. So sometimes these classes are just going to be passed over by the Heisman gods. But I am looking forward to seeing what Briante Dunn for Ohio State, whether he actually emerges eventually. Might end up being difficult in that offense of Urban Meyer because it doesn't really feature, you know, a power running back, but maybe that could change. I am really happy with how Randy Johnson's come out, and I'm really curious to see Trevor Knight of Oklahoma if, for some reason, Blake Bell doesn't pan out to the level that I expect him to, because he was on one of my other earlier lists, and then I think Trevor Knight can be that guy. And I'm really, really excited about Siler Miles. He was my number one rated quarterback when I was doing rating recruits last year, and I think he's going to be sort of a Cam Newton junior. I think he's a real special player, and, you know, depending on if Steve Sarkisian is there or not, whoever does end up coaching him at some point is going to be very pleased.
All right, now we will dive into the 2013 class of potential future Heismans. He explains this in the post, but you start off, you narrow the list down to quarterbacks, running backs, and multipurpose athletes. It's just, you know, those are back to some of the Heismandments, which, you know, we might see them slowly start to be broken, but for this exercise, I think I agree with Chris. You have to keep it strict to what you know. You look at the abilities of the players in question, how their skills might translate. Chris often includes YouTube clips of their high school highlights. And then finally, you know, how well does the player fit into the system? And that was sort of what Chris was talking about just a second ago, where some of these systems have become so prolific that all-purpose athletes, quarterbacks, running backs, they're just sort of built for them. So we're going to start with a system, a player that should benefit from the system. He was at the top of your future Heisman list, and he is running back Thomas Tyner on his way to Oregon. What do you like about Tyner, and what are some of the reasons why he made the list?
Well, it's pretty rare that you get a guy like Thomas Tyner you know, playing running back. Now, if you think back to all the great running backs in history, the ones that have good size and elite speed, and by elite speed, I mean guys who are who run track and who are 10.5 100 meters or better. You go back to the list, it's O.J. Simpson, it's Bo Jackson, it's Herschel Walker, it's, you know, Robert Smith. These are guys who were big guys. I'm not talking about Smurfs, guys who are like 5'8 or 5'9 who are really fast. I'm talking about guys, you know, who are big and fast. And Thomas Tyner is 6 feet, 210 pounds, and he ran a 10.4 300 meters as a sophomore in high school. He was sort of dinged up as a junior in track, so he didn't continue his track marks. But he is an extremely fast guy, the fastest running back in this class, hands down. And how many 210-pound running backs with that kind of speed fail in football? Can you think of any? If you go back to history, if you're that big and you're that fast, you're not going to be a bad player. You're going to be a very good player. Now, take all those physical attributes that you have with Thomas Tyner, throw him in that wide-open duck offense, and you're looking at a guy who's faster than LaMichael James, faster than Kenyon Barner, bigger than both. You know, this is an elite talent. Now, the only question that's going to be for him is his level of competition in high school, and there's without a doubt a factor there. He played at Aloha High School in Oregon, which is not particularly great competition, but if you run a 10-3 against those guys, you run a 10-3 against everybody else as well. So I particularly think he will eventually adjust well to the college game, and I think he's going to be an incredible back. I mean, you're going to see, I think it was a friend of mine who once said that Rashan Salaam set the record for most touchdowns scored just running straight. I think this guy might end up breaking that record. There's going to be a lot of plays where this guy gets into the open space, squares his shoulder to the opposite end zone, runs straight, breaks a bunch of angles, and everyone is left in the dust. So I think he has the potential. I mean, if Kenyon Barber can get 1,800 yards, and if Michael James can get 1,800 yards, this guy could get 2,000 in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the no matter where you play your high school ball, the field is still 100 yards long, and Tyner. The cool thing about Tyner, like you were saying, in that offense, you give him the ball in open space, he's going to be able to create some kind, like make somebody miss. Somebody that's that fast, it will be hard to bring him down. He may not have some of the elusiveness, maybe, that some of the shorter backs have. But like you said, if you're 210 pounds, it's going to take a lot more than an arm tackle from a cornerback or a safety to bring him down out there in the Pac-12.
Right. And, you know, when you're that fast, you don't perhaps need as much elusiveness as you would need if you are someone who is not as fast. Remember, a lot of elusiveness comes as the result of not having great speed. You know, when you don't have great speed, you've got to juke guys. You've got to set yourself up ahead of time and do a run and make sure you cut at the right time so that you anticipate where the defenders are going. Now, if you're an elite athlete who can just race by guys, who can crush the angles and the pursuit angles, then you don't have to be as elusive. However, I do think he'll eventually develop a few moves, and that'll add to his repertoire and make him that much better.
All right, let's talk about Texas A&M quarterback Kenny Hill. And first of all, you said this before, you know, a perfect example of how there's going to be, you know, classes that are passed over. There's going to be players that just pop up. You know, this year's Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Manziel, is a prime example of that. What's your read on Kenny Hill, a dual threat quarterback that, you know, could essentially step right in if someone wants to keep basically the same offensive attack? At least it appears to me.
Yeah, I think that Hill is going to be very much in the mold of Johnny Manziel. I don't think he's quite the fast twitch athlete. Maybe doesn't have the magic that Manziel has, and a few people do have that kind of magic. But here's a guy who was a great dual threat quarterback against a really high level of competition in high school, in Texas high school, and he had an incredible senior year, 3,369 passing yards, 27 touchdowns, ran for 1,400 yards and 33 touchdowns. That's 60 touchdowns, combined as a senior. So this guy is a great talent. I think he's probably a better passer right now than Johnny Manziel, probably not as good of a runner. But he has a chance if Kevin Sumlin continues to sort of look for that style, and it looks like he has, to replace Johnny Manziel whenever that time comes. Now, the biggest detriment to Kenny Hill competing for the Heisman will be the fact that he's following what will probably end up being one of the great legends in college football history, and that's always going to be a factor. But that also can give him some added incentive and added attention as well, because people will definitely be keeping an eye on him. And if he can continue to sort of take up where Manziel left off in that offense, he certainly has a chance to compete for a Heisman, especially with Texas A&M really looking like a program on the rise.
What's your read on JT Barrett, Ohio State quarterback? Because when we were talking about Heisman candidates for next season, which we did on a previous Heisman cast, I think you and I both agreed that it sets up very, very well for Braxton Miller. Do you think that Braxton Miller, whether or not he wins the Heisman, if that would have an impact on JT Barrett the same way that Manziel's Heisman could have an impact on Kenny Hill?
Well, I will say this. I would bet anything that there will be a Heisman Trophy winner for Urban Meyer at Ohio State at some point. The question is, who is it going to be?
It's just the perfect.
Is it going to be?
You're saying, yeah, it's just the perfect blend of system and traditional power, that all it really takes is for the right guy in the right season.
Exactly. System, traditional power, the coach, and the talent that's going to be around the player. You know, you see Braxton Miller perfectly set up. He's my Heisman front runner for next year. things are going to be looking up for him, and people are going to be looking his way. You know, they went 12-0 last year, and it's going to be, you know, set up very well for Braxton Miller. But if for some reason he does not win it, and, you know, eventually he goes on to the NFL, we're looking at some guys after him who will have a chance to sort of fulfill what Braxton Miller couldn't do. And JT Barrett is a great example of a guy who is another perfect fit for that Urban Meyer offense at Ohio State. And he's going to be coming in with, you know, these fresh crops of young talent who's going to be growing up around him. Miller is a very explosive runner. I think that Barrett is more athletic, though not as explosive, and has somewhat better size. I'd say they're very similar in passing ability. Miller might be more instinctive as a runner, but I do think that the advantage that Barrett will have is from the very beginning, he will be tutored in that system, whereas Miller sort of had to have a year to get the trestles out, so to speak, and bring in you know, the Meyer system. So I think Barrett will be a complete Urban Meyer baby from the beginning, and because of that, he has a chance to win the Heisman, really, whether Miller does or not.
So have you copyrighted Get the Trestles Out yet?
I haven't, but and I'll look into that.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So speaking of system and the importance of coaches, it's a great time to bring up Chris Johnson, the Baylor signee at quarterback, because as you pointed out, and as we have clearly learned, Art Briles has something going. As long as he is there, that offense is going to be clicking and the quarterback will put up big numbers. What about Chris Johnson leads you to believe that he could mirror the success, not necessarily the same player, but he could mirror the success of a Robert Griffin and maybe not just a Nick Florence. Nick Florence put up incredible numbers, but was never really a part of the Heisman conversation.
Right. I mean, if you look at Nick Florence, I mean, that guy, he had 4,300 yards passing, 33 touchdowns, and really 1 year of work. You know, if Nick Florence, who's nobody's idea of an elite talent, can go ahead and do those things in that offense and also put up some pretty good rushing numbers too. I think he had 400 or 500 yards rushing. Then you got to ask yourself, okay, what could happen when we take a 6'5", 222-pound physical specimen and put him in that same offense? Well, we saw what a physical specimen could do in that offense in Robert Griffin III. He was a different type of physical specimen. This was a guy, probably the most elite athlete ever to play quarterback, a guy who probably had his path differed, might have played in, or might have run in the Olympics in the 400-meter hurdles. So that's a very rare thing for a quarterback. Chris Johnson is another one of these sort of Texas high school legends, and a lot of the Baylor fans are looking very much forward to him coming into Baylor. And the question is, you know, how soon will he be able to learn the system and get his feet wet? But when you look at his highlights, this is a guy. He's, like I said, 6'5", 222 pounds. He has a rocket arm, and he can run. He is a, you know, Vince Young type of specimen. And putting that, combining that with what Art Briles does on offense, and the guy's a smart guy too when you hear him talk, combining that with Art Briles' offense, you just got to think, man, this is a guy who is a potential 3,000, 1,000 quarterback for the Bears, and you just have to say, this may be Baylor, but, you know, we've shown that if Baylor can go out there and have a good year, then it's certainly possible for them to win a Heisman, and Chris Johnson might be that next guy for them.
Alabama's stable of running backs has only gotten bigger, and you and I were sitting around with the rest of the Ion College Football bloggers in our workroom, and we've been asking ourselves, you know, how are there going to be enough touches? In the post, you listed Derrick Henry, Alti Tenpenny, and Tyron Jones. For the podcast, I'm going to ask you if you could can you pick one that is your just personal favorite right now?
Well, it's tough, and you know, I this was before Duval Kamara also committed to Alabama as well when I did this post, so he was a late commit. So it was really four incredibly talented guys going to Alabama, and they're all, you know, this might be the four best guys going into a program at any one time that I've ever seen as far as for that position. I think if I had to choose a guy, I think if I had to look at it logically, and I'll just talk about each guy briefly as I narrow them down. Derrick Henry, just a rare prospect with incredible size and agility. He could end up being the best of the bunch, but he's also the guy who could end up playing linebacker or being moved to another position just because his athletic ability is so rare at that size, and they may not need him to be a running back. So there's a chance he ends up being this incredible, rare 6'3", 240-pound behemoth at running back, or there's a chance that they say, hey, look, you're an incredible running back, but we have a bunch of other running backs, and so we're going to put you at linebacker so you can play more, we can get more out of you. So that could definitely happen with Derrick Henry. Alti Tenpenny I see as more the kind of a happy medium between Henry and Tyron Jones, who's the smaller back. Tenpenny is more of a T.J. Yeldon-sized guy, very similar to Yeldon in his balance and his strength and speed. I really love Tenpenny. I think he's got incredible knack for staying on his feet and for with a great forward lean, and he's got speed as well. And then Tyron Jones, I think, is a real true speed back, very much a water bug type back, kind of has sort of a some kind of Noel Devine-ish, Barry Sanders types of moves in space. I really think of those three, I personally like Tyron Jones the best. I think he has a lot of magic to him. I think he's got great breakaway speed, and I think he's kind of a back that is not necessarily what Alabama has seen in recent years, given his size and his speed, and I think he might be the one who stands out the most. The other guys, maybe there's some redundancy as far as skill set there that might not allow them to stick out as much, whereas Tyron Jones, I think, might have that extra something really makes him stick out.
All right. Okay. So a little bit of everything there. Certainly keep your eye on Henry and what they decide to do there. And we've seen Alabama, as long as they continue, if Coach Nussmeier, keeps everything moving forward the way they have, there's going to be multiple backs. And so whoever has the hot hand will likely get the touches. Arkansas right. Running back Alex Collins did end up signing with Arkansas despite the drama on National Signing Day regarding his mother's will to keep him down in South Florida. Do you see, first of all, before you talk about him just sort of as a prospect, do you think that he's going to be able to make an instant impact for the Razorbacks, or will it take a season or two for him to really get in the mix?
You know, I really do think he'll be able to play well right away. I don't think he'll be a phenom right away. I might have been a bit remiss in not including him on my instant impact freshman list that I made earlier for CBSSports.com. I do not consider him, even though 24/7 Sports, God bless him, consider him the number one running back in the class. I don't consider him the number one running back in the class, but that doesn't necessarily mean he can't win the Heisman. It just means that, there's an old coach I know who has a great saying, which is, there's no such thing as a good player or a good coach. It's the situations that make you great. And Alex Collins is a really good running back who will find himself in a great situation here, running in this certain style at Arkansas, which Brett Bielema is going to add, to that offense. It's going to be a grinded out style like we've seen at Wisconsin. And as we know, when you run that style at Wisconsin, you get guys who automatically gain 1,000 yards. It's almost like they give out 1,000-yard seasons with a gift basket when you arrive at the place. So I think that Alex Collins has a chance to very early on make an impact. He's certainly better than probably any of the guys that are currently on the roster. I think he'll make a pretty good impact early. And just given that system, here's a guy who's probably going to gain a lot of yards over his career, and he'll have a chance to, get 1,500, 1,800, plus yards. He's got great change of direction, got great vision, he's got great burst. I don't think he's an elite back in the sense that he's not going to go downtown and break angles with regularity to the extent that Thomas Tyner would, but you don't need to have that because he has other strengths, the power and the balance and all those other things, which will work great the same way we saw it work great for Monty Ball in Wisconsin's offense. Same thing with Alex Collins in what will now be Arkansas's new run-oriented offense.
North Carolina football, not really a traditional power by any means, but you've got Mitch Trubisky, the dual-threat quarterback that is already enrolled in Chapel Hill as somebody on your list. Do you think that, especially with Larry Fedora's offense, you're hoping for just the wild stats and possibly better than normal finish that he could ride?
Well, this was my sort of my wild card guy I threw in here. And usually I wouldn't put, you know, I don't want to necessarily say I'm biased against the ACC as far as these types of lists, but, you know, the ACC just historically hasn't had much offensive production of late. I wrote an article about it for Lindy's last year, and it's just about how there hasn't really been very many legitimate offensive weapons coming out of the league, and therefore not very many Heisman Trophy candidates. However, I think Trubisky is a phenomenal player, and I think he has a chance to sort of change the culture at North Carolina the same way you saw Johnny Manziel change things at Texas A&M, or the way you saw Robert Griffin III change things over at Baylor. People weren't necessarily looking at those schools beforehand thinking, yeah, these are schools that are going to have Heisman candidates. So I'm thinking, okay, North Carolina is not the type of school that people necessarily think of when it comes to putting up these kinds of productive numbers. But I think Trubisky comes in. He comes in mid-year. They've already got a quarterback in place who had a pretty good year last year, so the pressure's not on for him, you know, to start right away. But perhaps they use him in situations much the same way we've seen with Blake Bell at Oklahoma, or with Tim Tebow coming in his first year. So maybe he's used as a situational guy, gets his feet wet, and I think when he's eventually unleashed on the ACC, this is a guy, he had 53 combined touchdowns as a junior in high school. He is a fantastic athlete. Can pass the ball, can run the ball. He's going to drive ACC defenses crazy. And I think the more North Carolina centers their offense around him, and this is Ohio's Mr. Football, I'm really kind of shocked that he wasn't scooped up by Urban Meyer, because I think he'd be a great fit for that offense as well. He is a little more spindly than, you know, the typical Urban Meyer quarterback, but this guy's a great athlete. I think he's a great talent, and I don't see how he's going to not succeed at North Carolina.
All right, we got one more on your list, and then I'm going to ask you to make you pick one. But first, Jeremy Johnson, Auburn quarterback. Like you said, Gus Malzahn does pretty well with 6'5", 220-pound quarterbacks with a great arm and good running ability, huh?
He really does. You know, I was watching the Army All-Star game, and you go in, and this is one of the problems I have with sort of some of the recruiting rankings. And it's a tough job without a doubt. And you got a lot of guys to look at, but one of the reasons I didn't see or didn't know anything about Johnny Manziel coming out of high school is that they didn't really talk much about him. And sometimes you're just kind of at the mercy of these recruiting services as to where, you know, your attention goes to. So, you know, they put up these guys and you start looking at the guys. So, with the Army All-Star game, everyone had been talking about, I don't know, Christian Hackenberg and Max Brown and all these guys who are just these, you know, run-of-the-mill
6'4", you know, pro-style quarterbacks, you know, standard
issue.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, everyone's still trying to find, Roger Staubach or whatever. You know, everyone's still looking for number 12. So, you know, I go into the game and I see this guy, Jeremy Johnson, playing, who I never heard of. And I'm thinking, this guy looks better than all these other guys. He's got a great arm. He's making things happen. So I start researching the guy, start looking at his highlights, and I'm like, this is a guy. And oh, my God, he's going to Auburn. This guy's 6'5", 220. He's got a great arm. He can run. And he's going to Auburn. So Gus Malzahn can usually make chicken salad out of chicken you know what,
right,
with quarterbacks, and he did that when he first got there with the great quarterback Richard Todd, as we all know, who was an incredible quarterback before, you know, but he somehow became a very able quarterback,
right.
You know, and then of course when Malzahn got Cam Newton in place, we saw what he did with Cam Newton. I do think that his first order of business will be to handle the Kyle Frazier reclamation project, and I think that should probably work out pretty well. But I think no matter how that works out, Jeremy Johnson is the quarterback of the future down on the Plains, and I think this guy is going to be just another one of these, like Chris Johnson going to Baylor, I think is going to be another one of these just uber-talented quarterbacks. And remember, I talked about these quarterbacks, who what I call the super quarterbacks, and these are guys who put up these incredible numbers, who, you know, pretty much approach 50 touchdowns running and passing. And who are these guys in this class that have the potential to do that in these systems? Well, the systems that have done that are still here and on this list. We're looking at Auburn system. We're looking at Baylor system. You know, so these are two systems, at, you know, and Urban Meyer system over at Ohio State now. So all these systems that have, and Texas A&M system with Sumlin. So all these systems that have created really the last five Heisman winning quarterbacks are still in play. And now they've got these incredible players plugged in, you know, to see the latest iteration. And I'm really curious to see how it works out. I think all these guys are pretty well positioned. And I feel like now that I have a kind of a hang of you know, where the Heisman trend is going right now, I feel like this is probably a better list than some of my more recent lists.
All right, so who's your pick? Of all these guys, if you got to pick one, who do you have the most confidence in?
Well, I think Tyner is probably my number one. I think it's probably about time that Oregon offense comes up with a Heisman winning back. They've come... you know, they had Michael James finish third 1 year, and then Barner sort of flirted with it for a minute last year. And these guys, you know, and we're looking at Michael James was a third-round pick and undersized, and Kenyon Barner is not going to be a third-round pick. You know, he may be if he's lucky. But these are both guys that are just – these were three-star, four-star running backs coming out of high school, well-thought-of guys, you know, little water bugs who fit really perfectly in that Oregon system, may not have done as well in, say, USC system or in Miami system, just different kinds of backs, but they fit perfectly in what Oregon did. If you take Thomas Tyner, you combine his elite athletic ability with that system, I think you've got sort of a perfect storm for a running back. Now, it's very hard these days for a running back to win the Heisman because you get these situations where you have all these super quarterbacks, you know, running for 1,000 and passing for 3,000. But I'm thinking that Thomas Tyner has the best bet. And of the quarterbacks, it's really hard to bet against Gus Malzahn. I would look for Jeremy Johnson to be in the mix one day as well.
He is Chris Houston. He is CBSSports.com Heisman expert. You can follow him on Twitter at Heisman Pundit. Chris, I appreciate it. As always, always fun to sit down and chat a little football with you here on the podcast.
Thank you, Chip.
And don't forget, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the Eye on College Football podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at IonCFB for all the action from the Eye on College Football blog. And you can follow me at Chip_Patterson. For Chris Houston, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.